Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor at Forward Church in Chiefland, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thanks so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
What I want to talk to y'all tonight about is basically that. How we treat others. How we view others, really. So where I'm going to start tonight is in Jonah. I'm not actually going to read through Jonah. I'm kind of just going to paraphrase it to save some time. Jonah, he's a prophet of God. He's commissioned by God to go to Nineveh to preach to the people, to tell them to turn away from their evil, turn away from their sins, turn away from the things that they're doing, and that, you know, basically the world at this point considers Nineveh a bunch of heathens. So he's commissioned to go to Nineveh. He decides that I don't want to do that. I want to be disobedient. So I'm going to run. Jumps on a ship full of sailors. He's being disobedient. God throws a storm at them. People don't know what to do. They start praying to their own gods, whatnot. He tells them, it's my fault. Throw me in the water. They throw him in the water. Whale eats him. He spends a few days in the whale. He prays to God. He says, I want to be your servant. Whale spits him back up. God once again tells him, you need to go to Nineveh. You need to do what I told you to do. So he finally goes to Nineveh. He finally does what he's commissioned to do by God. And, he preaches to the people of Nineveh. They hear, they listen, they understand that they are in the wrong. They turn from their ways, and God shows them mercy. What we find out next is really what I want to focus on. So Jonah, we find out why he ran after the people are saved, after they're forgiven, after they're shown mercy. We find out why Jonah ran. Jonah ran because he had heard all about Nineveh. He heard all about their sins, the things that they were doing that were against God, particularly against what they were commanded to do as people of God, which, at that time, they weren't people of the one God. They had many gods. But he had heard what they had done, and he made a decision of his own that they were not worthy of saving, that he did not want them to be saved. He even tells God this. He says, I didn't want to come because I know that you're merciful. I know that you're going to show grace. I know that you're going to save these people, and I don't feel they were deserving of it. So like any good father does, he teaches his child a lesson. Jonah's sitting basically outside the gates feeling sorry for himself, even though he just did this really awesome thing. He just saved an entire country, basically, because this is the capital city of Assyria. Okay, so this is like where everybody's coming to do their trading or whatever it be. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people in this city. And he just did this awesome thing. He just turned a whole city to God. And it says like many there turned their ways. So he just did this awesome thing, and he's out there pouting about it because he didn't want to do it. So God gives him a plant to give him some shade. He likes the shade because it's desert's hot. It's hot out there, and he gets his shade. Well, the plant then withers away and dies. So then he's pouting again. He's, crap, man, I wanted my plant. I liked my plant. It was shadeful, So God tells him, well, he's like, you didn't work for that plant. You didn't plant the plant. It wasn't your plant. What are you sorry about? But you want me to condemn 100,000 people, which it's like 120,000 estimated is what the Bible says. So you want me to condemn 120,000 people that I gave life to, that I breathed life into, yet you're over here pouting about a plant that you didn't do anything for, you didn't feed it, you didn't plant it, you didn't water it, you didn't deserve it. No more than we deserve to be saved. Right? So we have a prophet, a man of God, a man who knows the word of God, the man who walks around preaching the word of God, who basically is walking around saying, you don't deserve it because you're a heathen. I don't like you. You're a heathen. You're not doing things that you're supposed to be doing. I don't want you to be saved, so I'm not going to. I'm running away, right? So what I'm pointing out here is, we do this a lot of times in our own life. And by we, every time I mention we tonight, just take it as the body of Christ, okay? I don't mean like the people personally in this room. I don't walk around holding y'all's hands or listening to your conversations or any of that. So just the body of Christ. What I've noticed over my few years walking this walk is that Christians seem to be just as judgmental as those who are non-Christian, right? So we all judge each other. It kind of comes naturally to judge people. They look different than you. They speak different than you. Maybe they use words you don't use, or they do things you don't do. Maybe you're a little more saved than they are. You know, I mean, I don't know, however you want to view it. It happens all the time. And if you don't believe me, go to some other churches and see it. I mean, it's all over the place. People judge other people. And it's not just in church, it's all over the place. You know, everybody judges everybody. You got popular people who judge the less popular, you got the less popular judging the popular. You know, you got Democrats, Republicans, everybody's judging everybody, right? But we have been commissioned to be different. We have been commissioned to preach the Word of God, to share the Word of God, to show love towards others, to show them the love of Christ, to bring them into the kingdom and allow Jesus to change their lives. Not for us to harp on whatever they're doing, not for us to necessarily just beat them over the head with whatever they're doing wrong. You know, be it alcohol, drugs, whatever, cussing too much, I don't know. Whatever your hang-up is, everybody's hang-up's different, right? So we all look at other people and we see different things that we don't like, and then we start recruiting, right? We recruit others to not like them. Kind of how Jonah was probably figured out on this thing. It says that Jonah had to go many days to get to Nineveh. So likely he only heard about how bad Nineveh was. We don't know because the Bible doesn't actually tell us whether or not he had been there before. It doesn't tell us where he was heading at the time that God gave him this message to save Nineveh. Right? So, but the likelihood is that if you're days away and you don't want to go somewhere and you already have a preconceived notion of something, you likely heard a lot of bad stuff about him, and now you don't like them just based off of your preconceived perception of who they are. So sometimes we're the ones doing the recruiting. And, you know, I mean, that's not good either. So what I'm getting at is it's pretty much natural to judge others. It comes pretty naturally to us as, you know, people who are born into sin. But we have been commissioned to be different, to not just judge others and move along in our ways. We're commissioned to help others, to show love. Now, please understand and listen to this closely. I am not telling you that you have to open your home. I'm not telling that you have to open your family to people who are toxic to you. Okay? You have to protect your family. You have to protect your life, your children, your wife, your husband, whatever it be. You have to protect you. Okay, so I'm not saying you have to open up your home to anybody. I'm not saying that you have to go and bring something that you consider toxic into your life. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that every interaction you have with said person you don't want to have an interaction with should be showing love towards them. You know, we're not representing Jesus Christ if we're snubbing somebody, if we're, you know, not showing them any form of love, or, you know, they ask us about church and we just walk off, you know? I mean, that's literally the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing, right? So what I'm saying is just show them love. If we're showing love, then that's going to make them seek out what that difference is. You know, like, and most of the time the people know that you don't like them, right? I mean, it's not really hard to tell, like, in interactions whether someone actually wants to speak to you or not. So they already know that you don't like them or that you have some form of animosity towards them, which is usually, like I said, just it's your perception of who they are. So you don't know their true story. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they've been through. You have no idea the stress, their life, their bad times, their good times. You don't know none of that. You have a preconceived perception of their life from an outside view, and you're making a judgment upon them to not share with them, right? So people will seek out that positivity. They'll seek out that difference. They'll want to know what it is. And now some people are going to say, well, I don't want them to seek me out. That's kind of the whole point of me snubbing them. Well, I would say you're right. You don't want them to seek you out. You want them to seek out who you're carrying. You're supposed to be carrying Jesus Christ, right? So you're absolutely correct. You don't want them to seek you out. You want them to seek the one you're carrying with you. You want them to seek the love that has been placed in your heart. You want them to seek the change that happened in you, right? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't always live very, I would say, I guess maybe righteous life. I don't know. But I did a lot of wrong. I did a lot of things I'm not very proud of. I'm not going to share that testimony tonight. Wrong place, wrong time, and I only got like 20 minutes. And there's way more than 20 minutes worth of bad in that. So, but my point is that we all do wrong. We're all going to face trials and tribulations. We're all going to have to speak to people we don't want to speak to, especially if in your customer service. You probably speak to way too many people you don't want to speak to. But our position as believers in Jesus Christ is that we're supposed to be showing love. We're supposed to be showing respect. We're supposed to be honoring people. Whether you like them or not, it does not make a difference to God. God knew that you sucked, okay? He knew that I sucked. Yet, here we are, a bunch of saved people. Because, I mean, the other day, there was no hands raised as far as, you know, anyone who needed to accept Christ, right? So everyone in this room said they accepted Christ. Or you're a liar. I don't know. But everybody said they accepted Jesus Christ, which meant you went from a sinner, you accepted Jesus into your life, you said, he can, I can't, and I believe in him, and he changed you. He changed your perception, he changed your preconceived notions of how you're supposed to live your life. And the more you read the word, the more it'll show you that, you know, the way we were brought up, or at least myself in general, through schooling or whatever, you know, they pound a lot of ideas in your head that are not biblical in any way, shape, or form, and really are hard to break those I don't know what you want to call it. Basically, all the ideas that have been pounded in your head over your entire life as a child aren't necessarily godly things. So, especially considering, you know, we all go through different things in life and different things happen to us, so. So that's enough about Jonah. So Jonah, and there's nothing against Jonah here, okay? He's a prophet of God, right? I mean, I'm not trying to like bash Jonah and put him in the grave, you know, or whatever. You know, I'm not trying to say that he was a bad person. What I'm saying is that even though he's a prophet of God, so he's a man of God. So even though we are people of God, sometimes we're going to make that same mistake. We're not going to treat people with love. We're not going to treat people with respect. We're not going to treat people with honor. We're not showing them the love of Jesus Christ, right? So, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast." So right there, you don't deserve grace. You don't deserve mercy, no more than Nineveh deserved it according to Jonah. Yet God shows it to us. Why? Because it's a gift from him. He gave us this salvation. He gave us Jesus Christ. So it's no different than anyone else you come in contact with. Just because you don't like them or you don't like the way they live or maybe they do too many drugs for your taste or they drink too many beers on the weekend or maybe they smoke too many cigarettes. Whatever it be, it's not your position. It's not our position to judge that person or what they're doing. It's our position to show them the one who can change whatever it is you think they're doing wrong. That's it. It's not our position to be God. It's not our position to be Jesus. He's already saved us. He said it is finished, right? So if it is truly finished, then I mean, and where else was it? He says, where is it? Right here, Romans 10, 12 through 13. "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It doesn't say that he's not going to help the drug dealer. It doesn't say that he's not going to help the alcoholic get out of it. It doesn't say that he's going to condemn people because of who they are unless they choose not to believe, right? But how can they choose to believe if everyone out there is showing them hostility, if everyone out there is pushing them away because of the preconceived ideas you have about their life? They're not going to seek out Jesus through judgment. They're going to seek out Jesus through love. And then whether or not they have judgment upon their life will be between them and God. Not us, but between them and their Lord and Savior, just as our salvation is between us and our Lord and Savior. Now, this goes for your family too, including your wife or husband. You are not responsible for that salvation. You're not going to save a person in your family personally. Now, you can help that along. You can share the word with them. You can share love with them. Like I said, let every interaction you have with them, whether you want to have that interaction or not, let it show love. Let it show Jesus Christ to these people, because that is what is going to change their lives. So let's take a look at Jesus, the one we actually are supposed to act like. So Jesus, he picked unpopular and sometimes hated people to be his closest followers. Matthew was a tax collector. Literally everyone in Rome hated the tax collectors. The Jews hated them. The Romans hated them. The Pharisees hated them. The Roman soldiers, like literally the people who had to protect them hated them. Nobody liked tax collectors, period. And Jesus picked one to be his closest follower. Then you got Paul. There's kind of a discrepancy of how many books he actually wrote in the Bible, but he's attributed somewhere between 8 to 13 of the books in the Bible, right? But he was a persecutor of Christians prior to that, right? So Jesus picks people who don't look like you, who don't act like you, who don't do things that are right. Sometimes he picks the most, like, just the person that you would never think of, which if you had known me 10 years ago, I would not be right here. This is not where you wanted me at all, I promise. It wasn't good. So in Matthew 9:10, Jesus dined with tax collectors and sinners. In John 8, he saved an adulterous woman from being stoned to death by just pointing out that all those who wanted to judge her were no better than she was. They were all sinners. That's why they all walked away. They couldn't throw a stone because none of them were without sin. And once he pointed that out, it was over, right? It was just her and him standing there all alone, and he told her to go sin no more. That was it. So the only one I actually recall Jesus ever calling out and showing hostility to are those religious leaders who were judgmental towards their people. He goes so far as to call them out multiple times in the Bible, specifically for looking down on others. The parable of the Pharisees and the publican, which is in Luke 18, 9 through 14. So it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector, as I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this is Jesus speaking. Okay, these words came straight out of his mouth. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. So right there, I mean, you're not to be judging others. That's not our position. It's not our job to look down upon people because of something they've been through, which usually, I mean, if you ask most drug dealers, or not dealers, but people who do drugs or alcoholics or whatever, they've had a lot of stuff go wrong in life, right? They didn't know what else to turn to, so they found a crutch. They took that crutch and went overboard and become an addict, right? So what I'm getting at is if we'll show them love, they can understand that they can overcome that addiction. They can overcome that situation, that circumstance, whatever it is in their brain that is holding them back from moving forward in life and living a better life. We can show them that just by being good stewards of what we are called to do, to share the word, to show them love, to introduce them to Jesus Christ, because he's the one who's going to change them. So if we'll show them that, introduce them to the one who gifted us salvation, it'll just be better, plain and simple. I mean, it'll just be better. You know, I mean, do you like it when people snub you? Do you like it when people treat you badly? Do you like it that, you know, and me personally, I know that there's quite a few people out there that know things about my past. And they right now know I'm standing on a stage preaching to a bunch of people the word of God. And I promise you, and I haven't heard it myself, but I promise you, there's at least one or two of them that feel like I still don't belong here because of things I did 10 years ago. 12 years ago now, I guess, 12 years ago. So the point is just because you have a past, or just because you know something about someone's past, just because you know, maybe you have a personal relationship with them right now, and you know that they are in the wrong, none of that matters. That is your perception. That is your problem with their situation. That is not a problem for us to handle. That's a problem for us to show them love. That's a problem for us to help them through. Now, again, like I said, that does not mean just go find a bunch of, you know, drug addicts on the side of the road and bring them home and give them dinner. I mean, if you want to, that's all on you. What I'm saying is, you protect yourself, protect your family, but at the same time, you can still show people love. You can still show people respect, and you can still honor people. We don't have to be the way it's always been. And I'll tell you right now, the reason I didn't like church, the reason I've always been against organized religion since I was a little kid, I had really bad experiences in church, okay? And I only went a couple times. I don't remember ever really going to church other than, like, every once in a while we would go on an Easter or something like that, and that was about it. But we don't have to be the way it's always been. We don't have to be judgmental. When someone walks through the door who doesn't look like what we envision as a Christian, none of that matters. We don't have to be the way it's always been. That's the whole point of this world, is that we learn from the past. We don't focus on it. We don't regret it. We don't dwell in it. We learn from the past, be it mistakes or be it positives. You know, it doesn't define who we are. Even the positive don't define who you are, right? I mean, some people get stuck because, let's say they were an Olympic swimmer or something, you know, and then 15 years down the road, they can't swim anymore and they don't know who they are anymore because they've always been an Olympic swimmer. It's not a negative thing, but nonetheless, it's something that's defining who they are, and it's holding them back from a future purpose. And addiction is no different than that. It's not defining who they are. They're not an addict. They're a person with an addiction. And I get that's against, like, everything everyone says, okay? But when you label something and you put it concrete, that is what I am, I'm an addict, that makes it harder to get out of that. When you say, I'm an alcoholic, it makes it harder to get out of that. No, you're a person with an alcohol problem. You're a person with an addiction. And the person who's going to change that is Jesus Christ. That's the only one who's going to change it. Have you ever seen anybody on drugs? You ain't going to break that yourself. I mean, there's plenty of people out here taking pills, doing meth, doing all these crazy things. You can't break that on your own. It doesn't happen. That's why people are, you know, they're popping up methadone clinics and all these other crazy things. Every day there's another one open where you go in and you get some other drug to take you off of this other drug. It doesn't work. It gets you hooked on another drug. That's it. But what does work is the word of God. What does work is Jesus Christ. What does work is the followers of Jesus actually doing what Jesus said, and that is showing people that we have a Savior who can change their situation, who can give them the joy, the peace, the clarity, everything they're looking for. Nobody wants to be an addict. Nobody wants to have those bad things happen to them. Nobody wants to be molested as a child. Nobody wants to go through all this crazy stuff that happens in life. Nobody's out there just saying, please, let it all just hit me in the face. I want to screw my whole life up. Nobody's saying that. Everybody that I've ever encountered that is in those situations, including myself, it's because of things that we went through. It's because of situations that we were put in. Maybe it was fair. Maybe it was unfair. Maybe we put ourselves there. Maybe it was somebody else. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. When you start focusing on all that, it blurs the actual image that we're supposed to be showing, and that's Jesus Christ. So the whole point of my message tonight, in closing, is my message title. You can either be Jonah or you can be Jesus. There's only two ways to go about it. You're either going to judge everyone you come in contact with, and you're going to treat them differently just because of the way they look or something you heard or something you knew about their past. You can either judge them and push them further down that road, further away from the one who's going to save them. Or you can choose to be like Jesus and to do what Jesus said, which is share the word of God, to help others, to serve others, to love other people. Because that is the only way we're going to change that out there. We talk about it here at this church all the time, and helping our community, serving our community, changing the culture. You can't change the culture by being the way it always was. You can't change the culture by being judgmental and pushing people away from God. We're not going to change culture that way. We're just pushing it right back into the world. We're doing the same thing that everyone else is doing. You see it all over the news right now. There ain't nothing but people hating everybody. Everybody hates everybody. Everybody's judging everybody. The only place you find that difference is in the house of God, in the word of God. So let's just choose to do what Jesus said, instead of choosing to be like Jonah and saying, well, I don't want to help that person because they look different. Let's choose to show them love despite what they think about us. I mean, even if they hate you, even if they've wronged you, even if they've stolen from you, if they've hurt you, the greatest testimonies that I've ever heard, and they always bring tears in my eyes, is when someone has wronged another family and then that family forgives them. Be it through murder or killing a child or whatever it be. You hear about these stories, and you don't hear them as often anymore because, you know, the news and the media kind of just focus on everything negative they can to push that, you know, world view upon us that everything sucks. But it doesn't. Everything doesn't suck. Jesus is awesome. His word is awesome. He can change your life because he already did, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be seeking him out if there wasn't a change, right? Well, he can do that same thing for every last person you don't like. And that's my message tonight. Let's be more like Jesus.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. For more content from Forward, or just to connect with us, go to myforwardchurch.org. We love you. The best is yet to come.